Good morning, it's Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Like cities across the country, Baltimore for decades concentrated subsidized housing into areas that became racially segregated, even if they hadn't started out that way. Lawsuits have been filed. Housing mobility programs have been started. The segregation remains. The Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development, or HUD, is now considering a change that would allow more flexibility in where people who hold public housing vouchers can live. Voucher holders now concentrated in the city could move to the suburbs. With us on the line from HUD to talk about it is Kathy O'Regan, Assistant Secretary for Policy Development and Research at HUD. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sheila. I'm glad to be here.
Give me the basics of how the Housing Choice Voucher Program, also known as Section 8, how it works right now.
So it was good to hear that background of the history of how we have ended up with one contributing force on segregated neighborhoods. And some of it is blamed on place-based housing strategies in the past. And so in the 1970s, we moved to putting an emphasis on demand-based. So the idea is that you give a voucher to a household, and they take it with them to the housing unit of their choice in the private market so that they have much more flexibility on where they live when they access assisted housing. And that's what a voucher does. The way that they operate with the voucher is that we set rent payment standards. And you can't go and just rent any old apartment at any old price. We actually set a maximum rent that you can use if you have one of these vouchers. And right now, the maximum rent is set metropolitan-wide. We call these fair market rents, but I'll keep calling them maximum rents. And it turns out that one of the issues with metropolitan-wide rent standards are that you may end up with a rent standard that primarily gives you opportunities to live in high poverty neighborhoods, but that don't quite have enough high enough rent to get you into a low poverty neighborhood.
So how the change that HUD is considering?
So right now we pay the same rent, maximum rent, no matter where you live in the city of Baltimore, the suburbs, anywhere in Washington, D.C. It's within one rent standard for that entire metro area. And so one of the things that can be true in areas in which there's a lot of variability in rent that varies by quality of neighborhood is that the metro FMR, that rent standard, is not high enough to get into a low poverty neighborhood. So the approach that we're proposing and that we're gathering comments on right now is to move down to a smaller level of geography, to think about neighborhoods. And the neighborhoods here are going to be at the zip code level. So that if you're trying to get into a zip code that has low poverty and somewhat higher rents, the maximum rent we're willing to pay from HUD is higher than another neighborhood that has much lower rents.
Well, if HUD's going to be subsidizing higher rents in the suburbs, how much more might this system cost than the current one?
Right. That would be a big concern because right now there are long wait lists for these vouchers, and we actually only cover about 25% of the households that are eligible. So anything we do to increase costs comes at a big opportunity cost of some other family that needs the subsidy. And so that would be a concern, and we have this new research that's taken a look at Dallas, Texas, where in fact these lower zip code level rents have been in operation for several years, and found that, in fact, when we moved to zip code level maximum rents, families were more successful on getting to lower poverty and particularly lower crime neighborhoods, which is critical for the development of children. But they did this, on average, at the same cost. So the average costs per voucher paid by the Dallas public housing authorities stayed the same over this time. Because what you're doing is you're increasing some payments in higher opportunity neighborhoods, and you're lowering them a bit in some of these other neighborhoods where, in fact, the rents are lower, so you don't need the maximum rent to be quite as high.
I want to bring this issue to Baltimore. Baltimore already has the Baltimore Housing Mobility Program. It was created out of a lawsuit, Thompson v. HUD, that challenged the segregation of African Americans in public housing in impoverished areas in the city. The mobility program lets those in the Housing Choice Voucher Program move to the suburbs. In 2012, as part of our series, The Lines Between Us, we spoke with Nicole, who asked us not to use her last name. She took part in the program. She moved from Baltimore to Columbia.
It took a while to get used to being out here because trying to get a job was, like, very difficult. when I moved, at the time my contract ended at the last job, so I was on unemployment when I moved here. So I kind of just was going to school. But now that I'm really settled in, I'm working in Columbia, I transfer colleges out in Columbia, I'm just happy that, you know, I'm in this program because it's helping me to build myself up.
How would this change we're talking about, this proposed change, build on the housing mobility program?
So the mobility program is a subpart of what is done in vouchers in Baltimore. So the benefit of moving to zip code level rent payments are those vouchers that are not in the mobility program would be more likely to open up opportunities such as the opportunity that Nicole had.
That's Kathy O'Regan, Assistant Secretary for Policy Development and Research at HUD. Here on 88.1 Maryland Morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about a change the federal department is considering in the way it calculates rent subsidies for public housing. The Baltimore Sun spoke with Baltimore City Housing Commissioner Paul Graziano last week about this idea. He said, quote, "We're going to look at it a lot more closely, but the preliminary signs are that it would really dramatically undermine what we're doing and severely limit people's housing choice and reduce the quality of the housing they would end up with," close quote. One of his concerns is that it could reduce demand for subsidized housing in the city, which means less investment in low-income housing. Is Commissioner Graziano right to be worried?
So I want to unbundle some of the things he said and think about the way in which you might get different impacts. And I'm going to start with the voucher holders. So one of the concerns he was saying is you might end up in lower quality units. So we have, you know, after we make a change in this policy, there'll be some voucher households who want to take advantage of the change in rent payment standards and move elsewhere. And the evidence we have from Dallas is that, in fact, the average quality of units experienced by voucher holders after the change went up. So on average, you would expect this to improve the quality of units that voucher holders get access to.
Can I interrupt you right there to try to understand that? Because as you said a few minutes ago, you'd expect higher payments in more affluent neighborhoods with landlords accepting these vouchers, lower payments in poor neighborhoods. So it would make sense to me that the quality of housing in poor neighborhoods, that there would be less investment. It would go down. How did it not work that way in Dallas?
So you've kind of got two different type of experiences going on, right? The voucher holders who move to better neighborhoods, and I think we can all, from Nicole's story and logic, figure out how good that plays out. But what about the voucher holders who stay in the neighborhood they're in and they don't want to move? So it turns out that one of the things that happens with the current policy and the current policy we have in these metropolitan areas that have very concentrated voucher holders, so the policy change we're proposing is not nationwide. What we're trying to do is go to places where we have a particular problem. So in those places, we currently have a policy of just increasing our rent payment standards across the board in the entire metropolitan area. And what has happened is, and what the research shows is, that leads to just rents going up rather than the housing getting better in those neighborhoods. And so what can happen in these other neighborhoods as we lower the rent payments over time, this would be phased in, is in fact we would expect the rents to go down a bit, but you shouldn't necessarily expect any of the quality of the housing to go down. So I want to also emphasize that we're not talking about changing rent payment standards for any of the other many HUD programs that are actually focused on driving investment in these types of neighborhoods. That's not what we're focusing on. We're carving out strictly these tenant-based vouchers, which are not, even in concentrated neighborhoods, are not a big funding stream. So we would expect over time maybe the rents to go down a little bit in the neighborhood, but not the quality of the stock.
I interrupted you. You said you wanted to unbundle some of the other points that Commissioner Graziano made.
Right. So one piece that you might worry about is, and you should worry about, is the effect on the voucher holders. And then the second piece is thinking about what else it might mean in the neighborhood. And that's when you think about that funding stream. So even in neighborhoods that have a high concentration of voucher households, they don't make up the majority of voucher holders, of tenants in the neighborhood at all. And so they are not the major stream for investment. And the fact that we're not currently thinking about any of these other programs of funding streams being affected by this is what I mean by that second part. So it's not as though our voucher payments are a large share of the rental payments going into the housing stock in these neighborhoods.
In the suburbs, Baltimore County Executive Kevin Kamenetz has expressed optimism and says that this might turn out to be good for Baltimore County and for the region. But some other elected officials are not at all optimistic. Delegate Patrick McDonough, a Republican who represents Baltimore and Harford counties, told The Sun that he intends to fight this change. Quote, "This is nothing more than a big push to try to spread government-subsidized rentals in all areas of the county. I'll fight it in any way I can," close quote. What would you say to him?
This is purely about providing households with some choice. There is nothing mandated here. No one's going to be required to move. We simply see that in some metropolitan areas, the way we currently operate our voucher program does not provide families with opportunity and choice to go to low poverty neighborhoods. Any neighborhood that voucher holders are moving to, if these are higher rent neighborhoods, they will be a very, very small change. You will not notice it in the neighborhood. This is not some large amount of influx. It's about a little bit more opportunity for these families. There's no mandate here for them going to the suburbs. There's nothing along those lines. We're simply proposing a change in the rent standards that we do to open up a few more neighborhoods.
Thank you. I appreciate your walking us through it.
Not at all.
Kathy O'Regan is Assistant Secretary for Policy Development and Research at HUD. HUD is taking public comments on the voucher shift now. The proposed change, if adopted by HUD, would not take effect for at least a year and a half. We've got more information at our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead on Maryland Morning, R&B, jazz, and soul singer Mesa. Stay with us on 88.1.